Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've heard the gospel read already, and that's what I'm basing the address on today. It's the Sunday of Epiphany today. Epiphany on the church calendar is January the 6th. And that text told us about that star we just talked about. And so my theme to think about is the star shines further than we think. And to add on to that, in Epiphany, which means revealing, God reveals that Christ is for all people and that God is already at work beyond the boundaries we assume. So I'm going to start with a story about assumptions. Okay, so this is about 45 years ago. About that. It's a story about two seminary students. One of them was myself, Greg Schiller. And during the seminary holidays, I came here to the Barossa and I got some work picking fruit out there at Plush's in Light Pass. My neighbours always helped them out. And not always. The year before, I'd worked up in the Riverland. But I came back to the Barossa and someone else took that job in the Riverland, another seminary student. And he was from Queensland and he didn't have enough money to get back home to Queensland. So he stayed on, took the job at the Riverland. And I invited him up to our family for Christmas. And his name was Smith. And he spent some days in Light Pass, Little Light Pass. And he remembers that I took him to St. Petri. Maybe that was on Christmas Day, just in that little area there. And he spent a little bit of time there. Some people met him, of course, remembered his name. And when he went back to, it was between Ramco and Qualco to work, I bumped into some people. And one person said to me, I had a bit of trouble with this name of this seminary student, Smith. Smith. That's not Lutheran. Well, I hope 50 years later that might not be the thinking anymore. But we are coming to the end of the Christmas season today. Christmas tree will be taken down with help. And we hear that story of the visitors from the east. And so this manger scene, for example, well, gives us that challenge of assumptions, because they've portrayed those visitors from the east, well, with a different colour skin, I bet with a different language, therefore, so not the usual insiders. This gives us that quick thought. I think it's a story today from the gospel that gently and sometimes uncomfortably challenges the way we think about faith and who can belong in that faith, and where we would expect God to work. So the first thing that confronts us is who comes to worship Jesus. And in this gospel reading today, again, we're thinking of these people. And they are strangers, as I said. Obviously, they're foreigners, people not born and bred in the faith. They don't know the scriptures the way the religious leaders in Jerusalem do. And yet, they're the ones who travel far to worship Jesus from the east. Meanwhile, a contrast is that those who are born and raised in the faith, those who knew their scriptures, stayed at home. And so we hear, for example, we heard in today's gospel that the chief priests, teachers of the law, know exactly where the Messiah will be born. They know the prophecy from the Old Testament. They have the right answers, but they don't go and worship Jesus. The strangers, foreigners from the east do. Well, many scholars think that Matthew was written by a Jewish believer to Jewish Christians who came from a Jewish background, and they too were possibly struggling with this, that outsiders were becoming Christian and not just people, their people, not just their people, other people, people who they thought were, sometimes they called them, barbarians. An awful sounding language these other people had, all those kinds of assumptions that people have about foreigners. Why don't they just speak English? Kind of thing. And if that's so, if Matthew's dealing with that, it's interesting that he begins his gospel, this is chapter 2, deliberately confronting people by showing that it's not insiders who recognize Jesus, but foreigners who kneel and worship before Jesus. I don't know if that confronts you, but when I was thinking about this story, this is a bit confronting, because who am I? I'm born and bred in the faith. I know the scriptures, did 7 years of study and a bit more afterwards even. And the danger is that I begin to presume that I'm in and that I quietly judge and exclude others. Surely God wouldn't include them. Surely God wouldn't lead them. Surely they wouldn't be the ones who are drawn to Jesus. And you can think of who those them are these days. They're probably not the Smiths now. The demographics have changed in a lot of parts of our country. Who are those them who we think would never be the ones who could hear about Christ and come to him? Yet in this gospel reading today, it's precisely the outsiders who come to worship Jesus. The outsiders. There's another challenge in here, and that's where they find Jesus, because of course the first they go to Jerusalem. It's the capital city. That's where a king is going to be born, isn't it? The palace. If a king is going to be born, surely that's where he should be found, but he's not there. Instead, they're sent to Bethlehem, small village, far from the center of power, and to very ordinary accommodation. God's promised king is not where people expected him to be. And that raises a confronting question for us. If someone came looking for Jesus, really looking, and came to this congregation, or to my home, or to my life, or I had some contact with people, and would they find Jesus? Would they find Jesus? Would they just find habits and assumptions about faith? Or would they see the love of Christ in the way I live and communicate or approach people from another that seem foreign to me or seem like outsiders to me? Well, who are those visitors from the East? We don't know their names. We're not told. We're not even told the number, but we assume three gifts. Matthew says they came from the East, and some suggest that was from Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, or from Persia, modern-day Iran, those sorts of countries. Goodness me, that part of the Middle East. Gentiles, certainly outsiders, and probably in our thinking too. Would they come to worship Jesus? And then it's what they are. They're students of the stars. It's not just the science of the heavens, it's the meaning of those stars in the heavens. And they've seen a star, you know, an incredibly different kind of star here, this Hernhuta star, which I really love. It's just, it's obviously not a normal star, is it? And you might look up the Moravian Brethren, who are the people who popularized and then made this kind of star. It's very common in some parts of Germany, really, aren't they? That's where I've seen them, and I've tried to find them myself, and I attempted to make one, but I later learnt that mine doesn't have enough. You have to have 25, at least 25 or more. You don't have to, but that's the custom. So, they understood that this star was showing something new, a sign that something new had happened on earth. There was, this is a new age, something new is happening, something is different. So this is another challenge to us. And when they finally find him, they bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the traditional explanation is gold for a king, frankincense for divinity, and myrrh for suffering and death. But I'm not sure, could be so. I'd like to just say that they were their treasures, definitely, and probably their security. Just think of giving up your gold. It's a big thing. So they lay this at Jesus' feet. This is a sign that the old has been left behind, and there's a new future beginning with these foreigners. So the Epiphany story really does challenge us. In Matthew's Gospel, just repeating, who is it that first recognizes Jesus, who he truly is? Not insiders, not experts, not those who've got all the right answers, but outsiders. And where do they find him? Not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. So often God, this star is shining further than we think. God is working in people that we least expect he would work amongst. And in places that we think or presume we would never look there for God working in them, those kind of Smiths, you know. Be ready to be surprised. Be ready to be surprised. Epiphany means revelation, to reveal. And what God reveals to us is really beautiful, I think, because the world is beautiful because of the differences of all of us. And that would mean the church would be very beautiful to have all of us together. And it's also unsettling that Christ Jesus is for everybody, everywhere, for all time, and not just for us, the in-group. It would be a sad thing, once again, if someone came looking for this king to this church, your home, your life, because they assumed that would be the obvious place to know, to find out about Jesus, or to see Jesus personified, I guess, in our love in action, the love of Christ expressed by the way we live our lives. But wouldn't it be sad if they didn't discover him in that place? And it would be equally sad if we assumed that we are in simply because we know the story, while failing to follow where God leads us to worship Jesus. So let this gospel story today confront you and free you to follow God, listen to his word, to be led again and again to worship Christ. That is what matters. And therefore, you are called not to judge so as to exclude others, and not to assume that God can or cannot lead, but to remain open to the surprising ways that God reveals himself. After all, I'm going to pick up this little book. After all, God revealed to John in the Revelation, a bit of a favorite book of mine, of the Bible. And it has this wonderful picture of heaven. And in this little book, which is called Heart Talk, a handbook of greetings in many different languages, is the point. And they put here, it's put out by the LCA. And let me find it. Revelation chapter 7 gives this picture. John says, after this I looked, and then before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Look at that. Look at that. That's going to be in heaven. So is it going to be here on earth? The start of it, hopefully. They were all standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So yes, there will be Smiths in heaven, and all the others that you might think are outsiders, every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne. It's very interesting, this book. It says here, this is another challenge, get this book. There are a few key languages. These are Arabic, Persian, Swahili, Hindi, and Mandarin are spoken widely, as in big populations. If you learnt basic phrases in those languages, you can cover over half the world's population by learning a couple of greetings in each of these languages. Which reminds me, in Papua New Guinea is a country of 800 plus languages, and I did learn basic greetings in many of those languages, and certainly when I was living in Laon, I would bump into people at the store, mainly people, security at the store, and I could say a greeting to them in their language, and they would go, "Oh, you know our language, you know our language." And so it's made a friendly contact immediately, even if I couldn't speak anymore past that. But in a way, you know, it really made a connection, and this is what this kind of talks about. And you might wonder about the use of such a book, but I'm going to learn some, because maybe our demographic is a little bit different here in the Barossa, but it's changing a bit, and also people do work here, although they may not live here. They might live in the northern suburbs, and that's the case with my barbers. It's interesting, my barbers are a married couple, and they're from the Punjab area of North India, and they also have one working for them. And he's from Syria. So I have to learn some Arabic for a start and say salam as peace to him, and a bit of this, maybe Hindi is, possibly he speaks Hindi, being an Indian, but Punjab language. So this is a challenge to take up. And what that does, it sort of opens the door and shows a friendliness towards someone else when you take the time and effort to learn a phrase from their language, a greeting in their language. And it can be an opening of a door which could be a star that might lead some people to know more about Christ, is the big point. Or there are all sorts of other outsiders. We could say the ones who grew up in the faith, of course, and also outside of the faith a lot these days too. And so that's a challenge for how they could see the star that leads them to reinvigorate that faith that they have. So, finally, be ready for God to work in places and people where you think he wouldn't. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.